Depression is a word that's common in our society nowadays, isn't it? And it's even common in the church. The church has come to grips with depression among its people and even its pastors. And no one is immune. One of the things you find out when you start to talk about depression is how many people suffer from it or know someone or are related to someone or someones who suffer from depression. What exactly is it? Is it a spiritual problem? How are Christians to grapple with these feelings, this sense of hopelessness, this inability to act or to think? It comes in so many different forms that will beset even Christians. Some people say, well, if you're a real Christian, you really have faith, you wouldn't become depressed. After all, shouldn't you have that joy, joy, joy down in your heart like the old campfire song says? We're going to talk about depression for the next segment of Issues, Etc. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. You can join us as well. And if you'd like to call in or email us anonymously, feel free to do that. 1-877-623-MY-IE. We are coming to live this Wednesday, September the 17th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the program, Todd.
Great to be here, Todd. Thank you.
What is the biggest myth that Christians entertain about depression?
There's a lot of them, but I think the biggest and probably the most dangerous one, Todd, is the notion that depression is a mark of a lack of faith. The reason that I'm depressed is because I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in God enough or hard enough, something along those lines. I find that just pervasive all over the place. Pastors, laity in publications, just across the board. It's very common.
We often hear about depression in the church, and sometimes it is, well, look, go read your Bible. Here's some uplifting passages for you to read, or pray harder, or spend some time with Christians outside your realm of experience and find out if whether or not they can cheer you up. Any of that good advice?
Well, I think that as far as it goes, reading the Bible and praying is always good advice to some degree. But the difficulty, Todd, is the analogy that I often use is, what would you say to someone that had a broken leg? If someone has a broken leg, you're not going to simply tell them to pray harder. I hope you're going to encourage them to go see a doctor because there's something wrong, and that God actually uses doctors, nurses, medication, pastors, all kinds of different people in all different kind of segments or walks of life to help us and bring about healing. But when it comes to depression, because depression is a mental illness, I think that we often confuse or just sort of intermingle mental illness with spiritual distress, spiritual anxiety, questions of faith. And while they may be closely related at times, they're not the same. And I think that that's a really central thing for us to understand, that often is not there.
You say that we should approach, as Christians, we should approach depression vocationally. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that, and I think a lot of this has to do with how our culture, how our society, how we've been sort of programmed to handle mental illness. We have been programmed in different segments of society. And you can almost track the decades to follow how it's been thought of. You know, we've gone through periods where it was all about therapy, finding the right therapist, finding the right psychologist, and to use talk therapy. We've gone, and I think that we're probably still largely in a period where it has to do with medication. If there's a problem, you find the right medication. And you could go back, I think, a little bit farther, and you'd find anybody that had problems with depression. Obviously, this is a question of faith. And because they didn't understand that God really loved them, and if I can make them understand this, then they're not going to be depressed. Well, there may be elements of all of those and others kind of in place. But the fact is that none of those are intrinsically or exclusively right or wrong. God uses pastors. He uses the church. He uses medical doctors. He uses medication. God uses psychologists and counselors. God uses friends, family, spouse, all of these different people to bring about healing and health for all of us. And that's true. That's true if you had a broken leg. You know, if you have a broken leg, you lose your job. In all likelihood, you're going to have a lot of questions about whether or not God has abandoned you. But because having a broken leg is kind of obvious that this isn't simply a matter of faith, my leg is broken, you can see it, that makes it very easy to separate those. But when it comes to a mental illness, especially something like depression, which just has so many things in it,
well,
are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. When we come back from this break, we'll let Pastor Peppercorn finish his thought. We're talking about depression. We invite your calls, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or your email, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. David Long, Robert Tai, Sam Lewis, Eric Ziegler, Pastor Mark Nierman, Chantry Rice, Betty Ann Wilkin, Vera Sweet, Lauren Hedstrom, and Suzanne Schmieding. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A California court case has brought to light the need for parental involvement laws when it comes to abortion. A sexual predator impregnated his 13-year-old stepdaughter. To cover up the crime, he twice took her to Planned Parenthood and then to a local hospital for a late-term abortion. Planned Parenthood didn't report the criminal activity. After the abortion, he continued to sexually abuse the girl for another 7 months until her mother found out and called the police. He's now serving 21 years to life in prison. Had California had parental involvement laws on the books, this abuse would have been caught much earlier. Ironically, such a referendum is on the state's ballot in November. It's a chilling example of why such laws are needed to protect children.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
We're talking about depression with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We invite your questions and your comments. You can call or email us anonymously, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. If you have a question or a comment or an experience with depression, 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. When we went to that break, you were kind of comparing it with the broken leg. You said if your leg is broken, you can see it, you can see readily what the problem is. But then there's the emergency room, there's the physical therapist, there's the doctor, and then there's someone to deal with, say you lose your job. Help you in those aspects. All those vocations come into play. Why don't we think of depression this way? All these vocations ready to help.
I think there are a number of reasons. One of them is that depression is so hard to define if you don't know what you're looking for. Someone can be suffering from a major clinical depression and can appear just excessively irritable. They can seem like they're just being lazy. They don't want to do anything. They can appear antisocial. They can be masking it by self-medicating using alcohol or drugs, all sorts of other things. And all of these things sort of hide the underlying issues. And because of that, it's very easy, it's very tempting to sort of focus on these external behaviors and not get at the heart of it.
Okay, so it may be masked by other behaviors, or it may present as something else. I want you to talk about your experience and go right to that very issue. As you struggle with clinical depression, how long did it take for you to realize that that was the problem and not something else?
Well, I think that I would I would say at least 10 years, maybe longer.
Really?
A long time. There's a history of depression in my family that I didn't really know about until I was kind of in the middle of it. As a parish pastor, I could sort of look back and see I'm at a very busy congregation, as most places are. We have a school, we have a daycare, we have lots of things going on, and I found myself coming to just loathe the very things that made me want to be a pastor in the first place. Teaching, preaching, Bible class, visiting, making shut-in calls became an absolute torture. I can remember quite vividly when I was near the beginning of when I was diagnosed with clinical depression, trying to make some shut-in calls, and I had cleared my day. I was pumped. I was ready to do this because I felt, I feel good. I had a good night's sleep for once. Maybe I can finally go out and act like I'm a pastor. And I drove there, and I sat in the parking lot, and I was absolutely paralyzed. I was terrified at the thought of sitting and listening to this really very sweet, nice lady that, you know, she didn't know anything about what was going on in my life with this. She just wanted Jesus, and it absolutely terrified me.
Could you put your finger, I mean, sometimes we talk about kind of a generalized anxiety. Could you put your finger on what precisely about that that job that you had to do, that task that was before you, that terrified you?
Sure. In retrospect, I can look at it and see. In depression, one of the chief characteristics, and this is, I think this is what a part of what makes it so insidious for Christians, is depression turns you in on yourself, so that everything around you becomes you believe that it's all about you. Not just sort of narcissism, but any comment, any criticism, any side note, a look, the fact that the sun's shining today and it's not overcast, absolutely anything in your mind you believe is about your illness and your inability to function. So I would go to try and make this shut-in call, and the thought of having to interact with her, to talk with her, to listen to her struggles and her trials, because she has had faith trials as well, and a part of my vocation as a pastor is to listen, to pray with these people, to bring God's word to them, and the thought of actually kind of giving of myself, even if I'm delivering somebody else's goods, the gospel, the thought of actually giving of myself, there was just nothing there. It just paralyzed me.
So it's this turning in upon the self and then losing the capacity to turn outward toward other people.
I think that's one of the cheap characteristics. And that can kind of express itself in a lot of different ways. It can be extreme guilt or anger. You know, one of the things, if you read some of the literature about depression, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, I won't pretend to be, I just kind of live with this. One of the things that you'll find is that in men, usually depression will kind of manifest itself more in anger and irritability. In women, it's going to be more in feelings of guilt and shame and a lack of self-worth. So it can kind of weasel its way into your mind in different ways, but the result is the same, that I can't get outside of myself.
There are two aspects that I've noticed with people that I've talked with who suffer from depression. The first is that it has a tendency to snowball. It becomes cumulative to the point where paralyzation leads to more paralyzation, guilt to more guilt, and it just piles on and piles on. And the other aspect is that identifying it as depression, while it certainly is hopeful, is not all that helpful until something's done about it. Let's talk about the first one, the tendency to snowball.
Okay. Well, and that's a significant one, because what happens is these things just sort of pile up, and where if all of the neurotransmitters in your brain are working the way that they're supposed to, there are going to be avenues for you to be able to release stress and anxiety, and some of these are quite normal. Exercise, wine gladdens the heart, as the scriptures say. So there can be a healthy use of the gifts that God gives in creation. Sex, lots of things that we all use to kind of get through our daily lives. But in depression, these things are taken away from you. So there is no outlet. It's like you're a balloon, and these things just kind of keep filling you up and filling you up and filling you up, so that you feel like you're going to absolutely burst, and you can't handle one more thing, and then you get 10 more, and there's nothing you can do about it. So it's quite incapacitating. I think it's really quite difficult for someone who has not struggled with depression to understand this this feeling. I think that some of the language or some of the metaphors that I hear a lot are, you feel like you're wading through molasses, that you just can't process things. Someone can be talking to you, and you're only able to understand one out of 10 words. I can remember that there was literally about a 2-year period where I really couldn't read. And I read all the time, but I couldn't put two sentences together. It was just impossible. Another is to have a sense of darkness, that you know these things are out there, but you can't see them, and they certainly can't help you.
With only about a minute here before we take another break, Todd,
sure.
Talk about the second aspect there, and that is when it is identified as depression, as clinical depression, that may be hopeful, but it's not necessarily helpful. You've got a label now, but you still don't have a way forward. Talk about that for about
sure.
A minute.
Well, and that idea is that first, if I know what it is, I suppose in some ways a comparison would be long gospel. If someone knows that they are a sinner, that's not going to save them. Something has to change outside of them. Something has to come from outside of them to bring healing, and that's usually going to have to be medication or psychotherapy, spiritual care, and there's all kinds of other things that can be done. But that is a huge, huge first step that, frankly, most people never make it to. But that's not enough, because you can't just fix it on your own willpower.
We're talking about depression, and Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I want to hear from you on depression. Call us during this break, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or send us your email if you need to anonymously. That's fine as well. talkback@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, a pastor's roundtable, will discuss the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Tomorrow's guest, Pastor Fred Bowie of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Pastor David Pelsu of Reformation Lutheran Church in Afton, Missouri, and Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. We'll be talking about the First Commandment tomorrow. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on depression. In the second hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will talk to us about Now's endorsement of Barack Obama. And Bridget Gabriel will join us to talk about radical Islam to round off today's program. Stay tuned.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Tim Rohrer, Brenda Ziegler, Philip Wolfmuller, Lynette Ford, James Lewis, Valerie Giroux, Stephanie Hoppe, Karen Swirla, Wayne and Marilyn Gust, and Ann Brown. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour. We're spending them with Pastor Todd Peppercorn talking about depression. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. When you go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, look under the promote page. What we have there for you is very, very important. A program like this on depression is the kind of thing that many people in your congregation could benefit from. What we have under the promote section of our website, issuesetc.org, is a brief paragraph that you can lift right off our website and put in your church bulletin. It talks about what we're talking about here on Issues Etc. this week. We update this paragraph every week for you and for your church's bulletin. You just take it, hand it to your church secretary and say, put this in the bulletin, please, and she'll do so. And many in your congregation will benefit. IssuesETC.org. Look under the promote page. We update it every week. Todd, let's talk about the way forward. Then you had said it's kind of like law and gospel. You can put your finger and diagnose the problem, but then the way forward is an entirely different thing. It has to come from outside yourself. If depression is this inward turning, then what comes from the outside that is the first step forward? How did it work for you?
Well, What worked for me is my pastor. My pastor and my wife both recognized that I was fading, that I wasn't functioning as I should, as I had in the past. That it's like my personality was kind of fundamentally changing, and so with the two of them urged me to seek a counselor, and like many pastors, seeking a counselor in my mind at the time was this was kind of a sign of failure to me. oh, things have gotten so bad that I have to go find somebody else to talk to try and help me. But it was, without a doubt, the best thing that possibly could have happened to me at the time. It was huge because this counselor kind of freed me to recognize this, this kind of vocational understanding of it that we've been talking about, that I'm not denying God by recognizing that God uses medication and that God can use a counselor and a pastor and a friend and my wife and my family and all of these other people. So this counselor really freed me to seek the help that I needed when I could hardly even function myself.
Now, a lot of people, especially pastors, even with a proper understanding that there's a place, God's good gift of the pharmaceuticals, are still want to try and act upon their own resources. Why is that a pretty bad idea when you're clinically depressed?
Well, in order to understand depression, we have to recognize that this is not simply a matter of feeling down for a while. We all go through periods of ups and downs, but clinical depression is far, far deeper than this. If you were to look in the medical field and look at studies of depression, you could see that the way that your brain functions actually changes while you're under depression. And so it's not just a matter of, well, maybe if I spend a little bit more time in the sun, this is going to get better. That may work to some degree, but most all of the research that I've been able to find says that depression, first of all, is extremely treatable. It's very treatable. There's about an 80% plus success rate with treating people with depression, and that medication has a pretty major place in that. But of course, words like Prozac have such a stigma in our culture that I think that pastors, especially, are pretty fearful of it. They're just fearful of they're sort of giving into our pill popping culture. I think that's really what the mindset is there.
Sharon in St. Louis emails us with a word of solemn word of warning. Please encourage people to help fellow congregation members get the needed help for depression. A member of my parents' church committed suicide last week due to depression. Your thoughts there, Pastor Peppercorn?
I think that is wise words. Depression is serious business, and there are lots and lots and lots of people that suffer from it in a debilitating way, right next door to you, and they may pour every ounce of energy that they have into appearing normal, for lack of a better term, for the hour that you see them on Sunday morning at church. I know that's what I did, was that I poured everything that I had into making it seem like nothing was wrong for 2 hours on Sunday morning, and then it would take me 3 days to recover where I couldn't get out of bed. So that help can be even life-threatening. I know that there was a one day for me in particular where I am alive today because of my pastor and because of my counselor. That is for sure.
Is there ever a point where, and here we talk again about Christians and not so much about pastors in particular,
sure,
where depression can, if untreated or mistreated or ignored, be so muffling, so isolating that even the voice of the gospel, the message of the forgiveness of sins, the hope of salvation, has trouble getting through that isolation, that shell?
I think that is how Satan will use a disease like depression. I mean, Satan uses any kind of sickness or disease to his advantage. I mean, think of deafness. That has an obvious way of preventing people from hearing the gospel. And depression is going to work for Satan to make it so that you can hear all of the right words and you can say, I know that they're true, but they're just not for me. And so how do you kind of break that down? And it's not so much a matter of unbelief on the part of the person suffering from depression, but it can lead to that, because that, of course, is Satan's goal, and he's going to use depression or money or absolutely anything that he can to his advantage. And that's why it's so important, first of all, as a Christian, if you have, if you know someone that you believe is suffering from depression, first of all, that you pray for them, because they need it. But then that you also talk to them in kind of a non-judgmental way, but simply talk to them and say, I don't know exactly what I can do to help you, but I want to, and know that I'm here for you for whatever that may be. And the way that you can help might be something as simple as offering to go to the grocery store for them. Because those daily tasks, which we all take for granted, can be the very things that are utterly crippling for someone suffering from depression.
With only about a minute, any resources to recommend that have been particularly helpful to you?
Well, for me, from a spiritual perspective, no question, it's the Psalms. As someone who suffers from depression, especially when I was in the darkest time, what's difficult is, again, I couldn't read. And so the Psalms were very helpful because they were short and because they were easy to follow. There isn't a lot out there from a Christian point of view that I wish that I could just tell you, oh, this is what it should be. But and believe me, I would love to find it. There isn't that much out there. But what I would encourage anyone suffering from depression to do is, first of all, talk to your spouse if you're married. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your family doctor, because they're going to know. And that family doctor, find out if the doctor believes that you should be referred to either a psychologist or a psychiatrist, someone that is a little bit more of an expert in the field. And that's probably the simplest direction to go.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. Thank you so much for being our guest.
It is my pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
In the next hour of the program, Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. The National Organization for Women announced its endorsement, a rather rare occurrence in the general election, of Senator Barack Obama and his running mate for president. We'll find out what Jennifer has to say, and we'll have her respond to some statements made by way of endorsement by Kim Gandy, the president of the National Organization for Women. Then we're going to spend the rest of the program with Bridget Gabriel. We'll spend some time talking with her, talking about radical Islam. She's the author of a new book, They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. Pastor Peppercorn mentioned the Psalms, a tremendous resource there in Scripture, from a man, and largely the authors there, who were probably experienced in their day. They wouldn't have called it that, but they certainly may have suffered from things like depression. They had the circumstances around them for it. Well, so do we. Psalms are just a part of the treasury of daily prayers, this great resource from Concordia Publishing House that contains the Psalms and other scripture readings and devotional resources all in one. Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer by going to our website. You'll find the book's cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, a tremendous devotional resource for you and for your family, Treasury of Daily Prayer. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave. fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.